Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, good evening. It's L.A. still. And tonight we're going to discuss a book that's not really been released yet. I believe it's going to be released in April of next year. And but we were lucky to have gotten George Dixon was involved with this, and he was able to get Jeffrey Goodman. Dr. Jeffrey was the author of this book, The Comets of God, to discuss the book on our show. And what we're going to do tonight is essentially we have a I'm going to give an introduction to the book tonight, and we will be having Jeffrey, the author, Jeffrey Goodman, the author of the book, on tomorrow evening with George Dixon, and so we can discuss the book together. There's not... Excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm trying to get into my switchboard here. I was having a little difficulty. Just give me one second. I'm terrible at multitasking. For some reason, I don't know why, but it's not allowing me to get into my Blog Talk Radio show here. Here we go. I have to get to the switchboard. While I'm trying to hook up my switchboard here, I'm trying to get the, I wanted to briefly speak about the book and what it is, and I'll use the author's own words. Forgive me again, I'm trying to get here to the... Sorry, folks, I'm very bad at multitasking. It's one of my major problems. Seems if I do more than one thing at one time, I get everything else, I do everything wrong. So I want to, tonight, The Comets of the Gods is Comets of the God, rather, is a new book by Jeffrey Goodman. This work explains the effects of comets on Earth's geological disasters, as they were predicted in the book of Revelations, and how comets were the cause of other biblical disasters. And tonight's program is a prelude. It's an introduction to tomorrow night's program with Jeffrey Goodman, the author of The Comets of God. And we'll be talking, we'll be joining us, George Dixon and I, to discuss the book. Now, The Comets of God is new scientific evidence for God. I'm reading off the title page here. The recent archaeological, geological, and astronomical discoveries that shine new light on the Bible and its prophecies. This is by Jeffrey Goodman, a PhD, and it's published by the Archaeological Research Books, LLC, Tucson, Arizona. And Jeffrey has also written The Genesis Mystery, American Genesis, and Are We the Earthquake Generation? And that's the beginning of the book. Are these correct answers and how we can be sure? I'm just going to read the table of contents here so you have some idea of what the book's chapters are about. And it says, the first chapter is are there correct answers and how can we be sure? Stars that fall from heaven, the Lord of hosts, scientific explanation for Old Testament catastrophes, part one, Noah's flood and Sodom and Gomorrah. Scientific explanation for Old Testament catastrophes, part two, the Exodus, Joshua's great victory, Deborah and Barak's victory, and the blast that killed 185,000 Assyrians. Chapter 6 is the beginning of the end, the first four of the seven trumpets and the seven vials of the book of Revelation. And then number seven is the three woes, the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpet and vials. And chapter eight is the tale of the tower, the truth about what really happened at the Tower of Babylon. And there's actually 11 chapters here, but over 600 pages, because you get a very, very extended bibliography and notes section to this. Chapter 9 is the Armageddon, the seals, the seven seals, the day of the Lord, and a rock cut without the hands. And then chapter 10 is the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And 11, what the Bible knew first. All right, and I think, and then there's, of course, the appendix, but I'm going to, I think, as I've there. I think the best way to introduce this book is through the author's own words, how he introduces the book in the preface. And I want to discuss that and read that for you. It's rather short. While everyone is entitled to their own opinions, everyone is not entitled to their own set of facts. Scientists say that science is about understanding the laws of nature. Few scientists would say that knowing God or understanding the Bible contributes to understanding the laws of nature. Nevertheless, the Bible contains testable scientific information about the laws of nature and God's use of the power of nature to express his wrath. When properly translated and understood, the Bible contains a great deal of information about nature and natural events that profoundly affect life on Earth. If what the Bible has to say about nature and the reasons for past miraculous catastrophic events involving nature are proven correct, wouldn't this provide evidence for God and give man a peek into the mind of God? What if the Bible is in part a message to mankind that reveals God's purpose and plans by communicating scientific information about important aspects of nature? This book presents scientific evidence for the existence of the God of the Bible, based on heretofore unrecognized scientific information recorded in the Bible, long before man discovered the scientific information on his own. The scientific information examined here prominently involves the subject of comets, one of the least understood cosmic aspects of nature. Admittedly, a few people have recognized that the Bible is talking about comets, the giant ice balls of space. To be able to recognize the scientific information about comets, some contained in Scripture, we must know something about astronomy and geology, as well as the original meaning of key words in the Bible when it talks about the objects of heaven. For example, the correct understanding of key words used in the Bible account of Noah's flood transformed the story from being highly questionable in terms of science to become a brilliant scientific account of cometary disaster. With advances in scientific research, the biblical passages about past catastrophes and catastrophes yet to come can now be properly studied. A number of scientific instruments have been used to discover information pertinent to the Bible's text, or biblical text. These instruments include the telescope, the microscope, and cameras, seismographs, and gravity meters mounted on several space satellites. Scientific information has also come from soil core samples recovered from suddenly abandoned archaeological sites, peat bogs, thick tsunami deposits, and sediments from the bottom of the ocean. All these samples have a chemical signature or thumbprint that speaks of cosmic impact. Most importantly, new light has been shed upon the biblical text by the less recent discovery of two large impact craters.
These craters point to two separate disastrous cosmic impacts that took place during Old Testament times. Early versions of this manuscript anticipated the discovery of these craters. One crater was found at the bottom of the Indian Ocean, about 12,500 feet of water, and the other crater was found in southern Iraq in a marshy area that was drained by Saddam Hussein. These craters testify to two cosmic impacts that took place during biblical times where populations in the greater Near Eastern region and even worldwide populations experienced impact-driven disasters, including earthquakes and tsunamis of unprecedented sizes. In addition to the catastrophic events caused by these two impacts being accounted for in the Bible, they should be described in writings of other literate ancient Near Eastern cultures, and indeed they are. Hidden within the Bible is a textbook of information on what is now the most important subject to mankind in all of astronomy, and even in all of science, comets and cometary impacts. Why comets? Aside from the sun, scientists now realize that the greatest force that has affected man or life on the Earth is not terrestrial, but extraterrestrial, and comes from comets and their cousins, asteroids and meteorites. Indeed, many scientists now acknowledge that the greatest threat to the survival of civilization as we know it comes from comet and asteroid impacts. We find that the catastrophic events recounted in the Bible show that God works through the laws of nature, which he says is established, by using comets as his instrument to implement some of his plans. Readers will be surprised to learn that the Bible refers to comets as God's mighty ones, weapons of wrath, and the minister of flaming fire. And some of God's plans include God revealing himself to mankind via comets, and God then bringing correction and judgment via comets. In the Bible, God even asks mankind to test him about the things that have taken place in the past and about things prophesied to take place in the future. With man's current knowledge of comets, and the biblical accounts of cometary activity and descriptions of comets, we have a body of testable information involving an aspect of nature that leads to scientific evidence for God as manifesting influence in heaven and upon the earth. Not only do recent scientific findings provide independent corroborative evidence for some of the catastrophic events of the Old Testament, but in so doing, they provide scientific insights for the Bible detailed specific prophecies of catastrophic events yet to come. Just as the Bible contains a textbook of scientific information about comets and correctly identifies comets as the causes for those of the Old Testament biblical catastrophes, the Bible's prophecies for the future also involve comets and impacts. The Bible's scientific insight into natural phenomena involving the different types of cometary impacts speaks of a 3.5-year period when the Earth will undergo 7 separate rounds of comet bombardment. We can now clearly recognize the major cause for catastrophic events prophesied to occur during the end times will involve comet impacts. Examining scripture in light of modern advancement in archaeology, history, linguistics, geology, and astronomy increases our understanding and appreciation of the accurate and amazing scientific information in the Bible. We now have scientific proof for the existence of God, of the God of the Bible, and scientific insight about the events prophesied on our future, for our future rather. And there's a couple footnotes here, but I won't read those. He goes into the chapter 1, and it says, Are there correct answers, and how can we be sure? That's the name of the first chapter. And I think... I think this is interesting to note how he begins. After the 1991 Gulf War, and again after 2001 terrorist attack was September 11th, many which is celebrated tomorrow, or Saturday, I guess, Saturday, many people became interested in what the Bible had to say about the future. When large-scale disasters occur, many people wonder if the event is connected to what the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, says will precede the end of the world. Fears about such things as earthquakes, global economic crises, wars, nuclear attack, and plagues suddenly became more tangible. A Time CNN poll, opinion poll, found that more than one-third of Americans say they are paying more attention now to how the news might relate to the end of the world and have talked about what the Bible has had to say on the subject. Fully 59% say they believe the events in Revelation are going to come true. Interestingly, this figure is significantly up from the numbers in the Newsweek opinion poll run several years earlier that found that 40% of American adults do believe that the world will one day end. Revelation describes in the Battle of Armageddon. In recent years, the increased interest in how the world will end can in part be attributed to the best-selling book of the Left Behind series. The Left Behind books presented an imaginative fictional account of end-time biblical prophecy. The phenomenal success of the Left Behind books drew the public's attention to the possibility of planetary doomsday. Increasingly, the Left Behind series was not the first to capture a large audience's attention regarding the end time. The Left Behind series of books addressed the same end time apocalyptic Bible prophecies as the 1970s best-selling nonfiction, The Late Great Planet Earth. In the 1970s, Hal Lindsey's The Late Great Planet Earth writer broke sales records with over 15 million copies sold. As of today, over 30 million copies have been sold. My God. And how over 20 years later, the fictionalized Left Behind series by Leigh and Jenkins, with over 40 million copies sold, reflected a renewed and increased interest in what the Bible says about how the world will end. Eschatology, the branch of theology that is concerned with the last things, has traditionally been the name of evangelical Christians. However, only about half of the Left Behind readers were evangelical. New interest in what the Bible says will happen during a 3.5-year period of great tribulation now comes from a broad spectrum of people. Christians from many different denominations, as well as non-Christians, want to know what the Bible says the future will bring. Even atheists are interested, if only to argue against the topic and against theological tales. Today, as more people than ever are concerned about what the Bible has to say regarding the end times, it is important to precisely understand what is being conveyed in the Bible. Concern over the specter of end-time events has even entered the political arena and influenced decisions. From President Ronald Reagan's former Secretary of Defense, Caspar Weinberger, and former Presidents George H. Bush and George W. Bush, have all made direct reference to biblical end-time scenarios. For many Americans, it is a foregone conclusion that the Bible says the world will end someday. However, understanding or knowing the exact nature and sequence of the disastrous events that are to preside this end is foretold in the Bible is another question. Without knowing the origin and true nature of these events, how can we recognize if a disastrous event is actually fulfilling Bible prophecy? How can people honestly say this is the finger of God, as was said after one of the plagues in Exodus 8:19? Since the first century, numerous interpretations have been put forth to explain the apocalyptic event prophesied for the future.
and the order in which they are to occur. However, these interpretations have had to continually be adjusted in order to reflect the new information and modern scientific approach. As discovered as it is to believe, as difficult as it is to believe, at one time the Bible scriptures were interpreted to support the theories that the earth was flat, that the sun revolved around the earth, and that the cosmos was a perfect creation, and little danger to fear from the heavens or sky. Invention of the telescope in the 17th century encouraged growth in man's scientific knowledge about earth and the heavens, and new insights into the Bible's text were gained as well. Excuse me. During the 19th century, because of excavation and the discovery of ancient writings, archaeological knowledge about the ancient biblical lands increased, and new insights into the Bible text evolved as well. Additionally, insights into Revelation's end times text have come with the fulfillment of certain prophecies. For example, as history has unfolded, empires such as Babylon and the Roman empires have risen and fallen, and the nation of Israel was reborn in 48. And a united Europe, the European community, has come into being. These geopolitical events are now generally recognized as fulfilling biblical prophecy. However, different and competing interpretations for a number of revelations, end times events, have still been presented. While some of these interpretations are plausible, none seem to account for all of the details given about that specific and perplexing apocalyptic events, nor do they fit with all the other perplexing evidence called for in the Revelation. Also, many of these interpretations are in conflict with biblical principles such as multiple witnesses, sowing and reaping, and there being nothing new under the sun, which requires precedent for future events, and from Ecclesiastes 1:9 and 3:15. These competing interpretations have been the subject of heated debate, particularly those involving catastrophe on a global scale and worldwide warfare. Since the 1950s, the advent of the atomic bomb has made nuclear weapons and nuclear war the centerpiece of most Bible prophecy interpretations. However, what is described in Revelation requires far greater energy than the detonating of all the nuclear arsenals of the world at once. Nevertheless, impressed and intrigued by the awesome power released by the thermonuclear blasts in the 1950s, many argue that here, at last, were sufficient means to accomplish the massive destruction called for in the apocalyptic scripture. This began the reigning theory, in spite of the fact that the nuclear explosions cannot produce the amount of shaking and ground movement, nor the horrific global waves of destruction described in Revelation. In addition, it is important to recognize that there is no biblical precedent for man's weapons being used or serving as God's instruments. To the contrary, the destruction of the Egyptian army and the Red Sea, Joshua's great victory over the Amorites in the Valley of Gibeon, and the blast that killed 185,000 invading Assyrians outside the gates of Jerusalem during the reign of Hezekiah, all speak of the God of the Bible using nature or seeming supernatural means to accomplish his ends. Nevertheless, the nuclear theory has persisted. A 1984 Yakovlevich poll found that 39% of those responding said biblical prophecies of the earth's destruction by fire referred to a nuclear war. Today, best-selling prophecy books present readers with some very trying interpretations and explanations for some of the cryptic verses in the book of Revelation. These prophecy books present no logical explanation for determining when verses are literal or symbolic. Rather than trying to determine the true meaning of the cryptic verses and bringing them into alignment with reality, these interpretations add to the confusion by calling for unprecedented and unworldly nightmarish scenes. For example, imagery of the fifth trumpet has been interpreted to describe never seen before demon-possessed locust-like scorpions that fly out of the bottomless pit to sting and torment men with unimaginable suffering for 5 months. The imagery of the sixth trumpet has been interpreted to describe never-before-seen creatures. In this case, an army of 200 million evil spirits astride horses, like creatures riding across the sky to kill one-third of the world's population with the fire and smoke and brimstone that spews out of their mouth. A popular alternate interpretation for the sixth trumpet says that the imagery represents helicopters and cruise missiles and a Chinese army of 200 million men riding astride mobilized ballistic missile launchers that kill one-third of the world's population with fire and smoke and brimstone. The question here is, why should one believe in an improbable 200 million man army when there are so many other details given to the sixth trumpet that simply do not fit with this ballistic missile interpretation? Along with the questionable interpretation of Revelations events and what causes them, nearly all prophecy books of today have incorrectly assumed one of the bad guys of the end times would be Russia. Most prophecy books still claim that, based on its origins, Russia is the evil empire of Ezekiel, and that will invade the Holy Land during the end times. This idea can be traced back to a small group of 18th and 19th century theologians who based their assertions about Russia's origins on historical references that had been purposefully altered. Even now, in spite of what professional archaeologists and historians have to say, and in spite of the fact that Russia is not one of the nations of Ezekiel, this theory persists. Many years ago, one had to be a scholar to correctly know about Russian origins. However, over the last 10 years, the irrefutable truth about the origins had been embraced and celebrated by the Russians, featured in a number of televised documentaries published in National Geographic magazine, and covered in high school world history textbooks. Actually, archaeologists and historians know the exact identity of the nations of Ezekiel based on the dealings these nations had with the Assyrian court. In fact, the records of the ancient Assyrian court talk about these ancient nations the same way that the Bible does. Correctly identifying the nations of Ezekiel 38 and 39 is essential to understanding who will be at the Battle of Armageddon, an important end-time battle, and what is to take place in this battle. Years ago, Dewey Beagle, a professor at Wesley Theology Seminary, wrote that many Christians were uneasy about the prophetic system being taught to them and were searching for better alternatives. Even now, despite the popularity and abundance of prophecy books, many Christians are still searching for better answers about what the book has to say regarding the different events that are to take place during the end times. Interpretations of the end time prophecy that are mainly based on current events call for the appearance of armies of demon, evil spirits, possessed creatures. Misidentity of the nations ignore the contradicts biblical they misidentify the nations of Ezekiel 38-39 and ignore and contradict biblical principles or make shaky connections between nuclear weapons and portions of apocalyptic scripture have left some Christians and theologians unconvinced. Among those who are skeptical about apocalyptic disaster brought by nuclear warfare, are those who see prophetic fulfillment as God, as solely God's responsibility, and say, God does not need man's modern inventions to work his will. In an article in Time magazine titled, Is the Bible Factor Fiction? Noted that as knowledge continues to increase, Jewish and Christian believers around the world have become more attuned than ever before to the significance of scientific evidence in establishing the reality of the events underlying their faith. As people are looking to strengthen their faith and understand the Bible's prophecies of the end time, there is a strong desire for better explanations and scientifically based answers as to what end times biblical or end times Bible prophecies are really saying. Yet most current Bible prophecy books do not reflect the latest archaeological, geological, and astronomical knowledge and discoveries that relate to Bible prophecy. Dr. Mark A. Noel, professor of Christian thought at Wheaton College, in his book The Scandal of the Evangelical Mind, the Evangelical Book of the Year for 1955 and Christianity Today's Book of the Year for 1995, in part, explain the scarcity of scientific information. He wrote, voted on by the questionable use of science in the larger culture, fundamentalists and their evangelical successors dropped the 19th century conviction that the best theology should understand and incorporate the best science. They gave up the 19th century belief that it was important to make a positive adjustment to an era's best science. Well, 19th century theologian Charles Hodge, a professor at Princeton Seminary, cautioned scientists about advancing cosmological theories that contradicted the central teachings of the Bible. He also defined the proposition, that the Bible must be interpreted by science. And he goes into Hodge's quote, which I think I passed. Not for importance, but due to my ability to read right now, my voice. Anyway, I think it's an important quote. I'll attempt to read this by Hodge. Nature is truly a revelation of God as the Bible, Psalm 19:1, and we only interpret the Word of God by the work of God when we interpret the Bible of science. When the Bible speaks of foundations, or of the pillars of the earth, or of the solid heavens, or of the motion of the sun, do not you and every other sane man interpret this language by the facts of science? For 5,000 years, the Church understood the Bible to teach that the earth stood still in space, and that sun and stars revolved around it. Science has just demonstrated this is not true. Shall we go on to interpret the Bible so as to make it teach the falsehood that the sun moves around the earth, or shall we interpret it as by science and make the two harmonize? In 1941, a symposium entitled Science, Philosophy, and Religion, the great physicist Albert Einstein said, "Science without religion is lame, and religion without science is blind." And accordingly, we must not be afraid to look at the Bible through the modern eyes of science, for science is about understanding nature and reasons for things. We must go beyond belief based on 18th and 19th century ideas and interpretations of Revelation in order to see that the Scriptures reveal for us now. It is important to remember that the Bible itself says that certain words and prophecies were sealed or kept secret. The Bible says certain words and prophecies were closed up until the end times, when knowledge will have increased enough to properly understand what was being said. This is was stated in Daniel 12:4-9 and Jeremiah 23:19-20. NAS. Of the Bible is what it claims to be. Then new discoveries from science and history should constantly be confirming the Bible and making end times prophecy more understandable and more believable. For faith-based believers who take the Bible to be without error, it is not a case of science contradicting scripture, nor is science threatening the prophetic system they may have subscribed. Instead, it is a case of science helping to harmonize specific scriptural texts with science and reality. I made a note here, and I think it's important to read that. Note that the discussion of the role of science here is apart from the ongoing controversy of a young Earth versus an old Earth. The question being addressed here is how the disasters of the end times are to happen. The contenders represent phenomena for which we have had the benefit of direct observation. Phenomena such as the nuclear destruction of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the Good Friday Alaska earthquake, the great eruption of Mount St. Helens, the tidal wave that flooded Krakatoa, and the multiple impacts of Comet Shoemaker-Levy 9 on the planet Jupiter, and the Indonesian tsunami of December 2004, and the great Jewish Bible or the biblical scholar interpretations of scriptures should not be rejected solely because they may require change or revision to beliefs about events in the Book of Revelation. One's personal beliefs must not be held so tightly that the actual truth found in the Bible is strangled. Therefore, the question here is not whether we should see what science tells us about end-time events. Rather, the question must be why science is not being consulted when interpreting the Bible and understanding events in the Book of Revelation. Ironically, in this book, a number of instances are cited where the Bible gives amazing, accurate scientific information long before modern science came to discover or verify this important information. And that chapter goes on and is rather involved. But I think there was a part, and I regret that, I hope that I have that part, I'm not sure. And Jeffrey, if you're listening, I think I lost the spot that you asked me to read. It's about a page and a half here. Comets are giant balls of ice and dust that represent the leftover building blocks of the solar system. It is well known that comets and fragments from comets, also called cometary meteorites, have fallen to the Earth frequently in the past and still are today. In the ancient world, comets were seen as both the messengers and that warned of or preceded disasters, as well as the actual agent of disaster. These comets were referred to by the ancients as hairy stars, meteors as shooting stars, and planets as wandering stars. Interestingly, the Greek word for star is the word aster, and from their word, from this word, we get the word disaster, and which can literally mean bad star. In 16th century Italian, diastro referred to an ill-starred event, so a recitation of ancient and historic meanings and usages can be instructive in properly understanding Revelation. Comets are giant balls of ice and dust that represent the leftover building blocks of the solar system. It is well known that comets and fragments from comets, also called meteorites, have fallen to Earth. Okay. A review of an ancient literature reveals that any mention of the stars that fall from heaven or gods attacking from heaven would have references to comets or meteors striking the Earth. For example, the ancient Sumerian hymn, the hymnal prayer of Enheddanna, the ordination of Ina in Ur, speak of both Ishgar and Bull of Heaven and Inanna, the Queen of Heaven, saying that it is they who rained flaming fire over the land. And the Babylonian epic of Gilgamesh also speaks of Ishgar, saying that the snort of the Bull of Heaven pits, small impact craters were open. Into them fell 100 young men of Uruk. And another ancient Sumerian work called Lamentation over the Destruction of Sumer and Ur tell about cometary gods who devastated the land. The text describes burning through by hailstone and flame as a harrow, a comet fragment, and the frozen water of comets contain combustible elements and compounds that can produce flames, especially highly flammable methane and sulfur, coming from some struck the city. Coming from above, struck the city in heaven, and earth trembled, and dust passed over the mountains, and the sky darkened, and large trees were uprooted, and forest growth ripped out, and blood ran freely as mouths and heads were crushed, and large stones over after another felt in great thuds. It is surprising that Revelation's description of stars and falls from the heaven to earth, hailstones and fire, and darkened skies are really descriptions of impacts of comets and or meteors. Once we understand the basics about comets, their origin, composition, behavior, and what happens during and after different types of impact, it becomes obvious that the effects of cometary impacts are the cause of the catastrophic events described in Revelation, including all of the horrible events of the seven trumpets and the seven vials. According to the key to understanding the catastrophes described in Revelation lies in recognizing that they represent a series of comet impacts, just as scientists of today have recognized that multiple comet impacts can occur during a relatively short period of time. Even events calling for earthquakes described earthquakes of a size that could only be caused by cosmic impact. It will surprise many to learn that the fifth and sixth trumpets spoken of in the Bible are also involve a cometary impact, not nuclear warfare and not demonic warfare. Later, these two trumpets will look at more closely where we will not find demon-possessed creatures wreaking havoc. Instead, we will discover a scientific, accurate picture of active comets. The fifth and sixth trumpets provide close-ups of what active comets look like, how they work, and the pestilence they can bring. The prophecies of Revelation clearly indicate a series of increasingly severe catastrophic episodes during a 3.5-year period. Up until recently, it was generally believed that bombardments of the Earth by comets and asteroids only occurred as single incidents, and that these bombardments were separated by very long periods of time, ranging from 3,000 to 1 million years. However, scientists know now that bombardments of the Earth by comets and asteroids may be concentrated into brief catastrophic periods in which the multiple impacts occur. Based on recent discovered craters, scientists now believe that the dinosaurs became extinct when at least three cosmic impacts occurred during a relatively short period of time. Nevertheless, the ultimate proof that multiple impacts can and do occur during a short period of time came as the world watched on television in 1994, Over the course of a week in July that year, millions of TV viewers saw 21 separate large fragments, mini-comets, from the breakup of a comet Shoemaker Levy 9 hit the gaseous surface of Jupiter. As each fragment hit Jupiter's upper atmosphere, it blew up in a giant fireball, followed by a rising plume of debris that later came crashing down to leave a large black spot on Jupiter's banded surface. Soon, there was a string or chain of black spots on Jupiter. Modern observation of these multiple impacts of Comet Shoemaker-Levy 9 opened astronomers' eyes to the probability that there have been other multiple impacts. Scientists reassessed images of several of Jupiter's moons. Amazingly, the photographs revealed over a dozen cases involving similar chains of impact craters. Here was more evidence that the multiple impacts can occur during a short period of time. Suspected topography resulting from multiple impacts include the Carolina Banks, Chesapeake Bay, and the Great Lakes Basin. Ironically, the dangerously close to home, less than 1 month after the spectacle of Comet Shoemaker-Levy 9, Comet Massholtz 2 was discovered. This comet was found to consist of six recently separated fragments or components, all traveling in an orbit that brings them into the inner solar system and across the orbit to Earth every 5.23 years. They're initially just one large comet made the near-Earth flyby. There are now six smaller comets. Astronomers are concerned that these six comets, A, B, C, D, E, and F, could eventually approach Earth and threaten to impact our planet. The threat to the Earth as a potential victim of multiple impacts has made even clearer by observation of Comet Linear. Comet Linear was discovered in 1999 while it was making its first visit into the inner solar system to go around the Sun. And it passed close to the Sun and added heat from the Sun began to melt the ice holding it together, causing it to break up. An astronomer had a ringside seat as the comet unexpectedly began to disintegrate before their eyes, and images taken by the Hubble Space Telescope during the August 2000 showed large fragments breaking off of the comet's nucleus. And after a few months, Comet Linear was reduced to 16 mini-comets, each with a tail of its own, and countless pieces of debris, all of which were headed away from the Sun and back out into space. And each mini-comet was larger than a football field. And the show put on by Comet Linear was a visual example of how frequently and suddenly the Earth could be subjected to multiple impacts. After we learned about all the horrible things that comets do to mankind and the Earth, it is obvious that the seven trumpets of the Revelation describe in the effect of seven separate rounds of episodes of comet impacts and in ultimate cause. During a round or episode of impact, more than one comet or comet fragment may hit the Earth. It is not unusual for comets and comet fragments to break up into multiple pieces as they come in to strike the Earth. The seven trumpets focus on how each of these seven impact episodes will affect the Earth, while the seven vials focus on how these same seven impact episodes will affect humanity. In essence, the Revelation gives two witnesses for each round or episode of cometary impact. This is consistent with Bible teaching that two or more witnesses are needed to establish a matter, and especially when the stars cause such destruction. And it goes on. The book is fascinating, I tell you, and it's a good read. But there's something else here that I felt was important to read. I believe it's this. I think the perhaps, if nothing more, what this does, this book does, and what I'm trying to project this today in this very brief period of an introduction, is the immense impact that it would take to cause the biblical destruction that that's written about in the Bible and is about to come in the end times in Revelation. And it says essentially that there's all of the nuclear firepower that we have to this day, if all of it exploded at one time, all right, it wouldn't amount to less. It would amount to less than one tenth of the power of a comet impacting on the Earth. Okay, all the nuclear power in the world that we have possessed now, if everything went off, all right, it wouldn't equal one tenth of the power that would be unleashed on this Earth under one hit of a comet. And which would wipe out the entire world. Louis Alvarez and his son Walter Alvarez, geology professor at the University of California, Berkeley, said this impact was equivalent to the explosion of 5 billion Hiroshima-sized atom bombs. 5 billion Hiroshima-sized atom bombs would equate to one comet impacting the Earth. That tells you something about the insanity of this. Let me explain this. The heavens departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, was Revelation, the sixth seal. And it says, even if we put aside seismic effects, such as shaking and ground movement, and just compare explosive power, there is an enormous difference between nuclear explosions and cometary impacts. The atomic bomb dropped on the city of Hiroshima had an explosive energy equal to the detonation of 15,000 tons of TNT. Hiroshima was 15,000 tons of TNT. In contrast, the 50-meter in diameter space rock that came in from at over 25,000 miles per hour and created the 4,000-foot wide and 600-foot deep meteor crater in Arizona involved explosive energy equal to amounts 2,000 times the Hiroshima-sized atomic bombs. It would take 2,000 Hiroshima bombs on one place, okay, in that Arizona crater, to create that Arizona crater. According to Dartmouth astrophysicist Marcelo Geyser, a comet the size of Mount Everest, the 6-mile-wide comet that led to the extinction of the dinosaurs traveling at over 25,000 miles per hour, struck the planet with energy equivalent to an incredible 100 million megatons of TNT, or 10,000 times more than all the nuclear bombs available at the height of the Cold War detonated together. Nobel Prize winner, the late physicist Louis Alvarez, and his son Walter Alvarez, geology professor at the University of California, Berkeley, said this impact was equivalent to the explosion of 5 billion Hiroshima-sized atomic bombs. And the bottom line is that there is no real comparison between the devastation that can be brought by nuclear events and the devastation that can be brought by cosmic events. It is impossible to compare the damage done by a thrown rock to that of a large mountain hurtling through space to smash into Earth at 30 times the speed of a bullet. This almost unlimited power has alarmed astronomers and caused several of them to write books warning that the impacts can bring a sudden and total end to civilization. And research astronomer Duncan Steele of the Anglo-Australian Observatory in his book Rogue Asteroids and Doomsday Comets writes, it is difficult to overstate the almost unimaginable energy that is released when a massive asteroid or comet hits the Earth. Merely stating that the explosive power is far greater than all the world's nuclear arsenals combined does not properly convey matters. The reader may think that such combined power might simply result in a larger area being flattened than that which a nuclear bomb devastates. In fact, the impact of a large asteroid or comet is quite different from that. Were one to land in Southern California, for example, all of Los Angeles along the several kilometers of rocks from the Earth's crust beneath, it would be picked up and largely vaporized. Whoa. Lumps remaining down on Hawaii and New York, lumps raining down on Hawaii and New York an hour or so later, and not that Honolulu or New York City would be left standing by then. Phenomenal seismic shocks following the impact would have already shaken them flat. And beyond the initial explosions, and rogue asteroids and doomsday comets search for million megaton menaces that threaten life on Earth, Duncan Steele, PhD. And we quote, beyond the initial explosive effects, depending on where a comet impact takes place, there are also far-reaching secondary types of physical devastation. A large impact that is on or very near the ground would not only produce a crater of substantial size, it would also put a tremendous amount of dust into the atmosphere. In fact, it would generate enough dust to blot out the sun for several months. I saw a star, comet, fall from the heaven onto the earth, and he opened the bottomless pit deep pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of great furnace, mushroom cloud, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. That was Revelation 1-2, the fifth trumpet. And for large cometary impacts, along with the loss of sunlight, temperatures would drop and a cosmic winter would occur, leading to global crop failure. And while it is difficult to grasp how much dust a large cometary impact would put into the environment, a team of 10 of the world's leading astronomers and geoscientists said the impact that killed the dinosaurs was an explosion equivalent to 250,000 Mount St. Helens eruptions, an explosion that would have released trillions of tons of debris and dust into the air. And how can one visually and mentally grasp such a tremendous amount of dust? Well, Dr. David Morrison, science chief at NASA, Ames Research Center, reflecting on images of cars and buildings being buried under a volcanic ash wall, said, if you've seen pictures of what it's like in the Philippines with Mount Pinatubo erupting, just imagine that happening all over the Earth. He says, and the sky turns pitch black. Temperatures drop and kill crops. Most of the world would probably starve to death. And even the dust raised by a small 50 to 100 meter impact would be several dozen times greater than that of a nuclear bomb or a very large volcanic eruption. Like Krakatoa, or even the larger Tambora eruptions in recently recorded history. And I have to say, it's a fascinating book, and Jeffrey, I commend you on your work. And it's nearing the end of the show, and I wanted to I tell you to please join us on tomorrow's show, George and Jeffrey Goodman and myself, and we'll be discussing the book at length as to the research and as to the and Jeffrey will answer some of the amazing aspects of a cometary impact and how it relates to biblical prophecy, past and future. And with that, we have about a minute left of the show, and I want to thank everybody for joining us. And if you didn't get a chance to check out last night's show, we had a great show. Had Larry Dorman interviewed, and we did some great articles on eugenics. And There's even a YouTube tape there on Obama. And it said the YouTube audio is really funny because it goes, yes, we can, yes, we can, yes, we can. Obama's constantly repeating, yes, we can. And then somebody turned it backwards, and it suddenly was, you could hear it say, we follow Satan, we follow Satan, something to that effect. So anyway, I hope you get a kick out of it, and choose for yourself. But the show's over. Thank everybody, and hope you had a good night. Good night. Join us tomorrow, right here, same time, for George Dixon, and author of The Comet of Gods, The Comets of God, tomorrow night. See you then.